Our flagship asset is called Mount Horetsky. It's in the Babine Porphyry Belt in British Columbia. It's a copper target. And it's really the main reason I myself got involved with this company in the first place and kind of decided to drop everything I was doing to go all in on Northern Lights. What makes Horetsky, our flagship, so compelling to us and really our main focus is that it's a direct parallel to its neighbor, American Eagle's NAC project, which today is a $200 million property. Not only is Horetsky nearby NAC physically, but it also shares a very similar geophysical signature and geological architecture to NAC. And I would say the most kind of important thing is that it's being advanced by the same group and the same technical team that figured NAC out, that picked up the option and brought it to the drill-ready stage pre-discovery. So, from our perspective, this isn't really a blue sky exploration story, but rather, a repeatable playbook on a highly analogous target.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. Today I have with me CEO and Director of Northern Light Resources, Luca Kappen. How are you, Luca?
I'm fantastic, Steve. Thank you for having us.
Luca, my understanding is you also have another person with you, Bernie Kraft. Bernie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Nice to meet you, Steve.
Well, Bernie, great to have you. Just wanted to acknowledge you're here, and thanks for being here to answer some questions for us as well. Curious if you guys can, before we start, if you can, Luca, give us your ticker, your website, and where people can find you.
Yeah, so the ticker is NLR on the CSE, NLRCF on the OTC, and 0ZH0 on the Frankfurt Exchange. Our website is northernlightsresources.com. And you can find us at Lights Resources on Twitter/X and LinkedIn.
Luca, we just met recently, but for people who don't know your story very well, for the Northern Lights Resources story, if you can give us the 50,000 foot view, what are you guys about? Where are you? And why are you guys relevant?
Yeah, so again, thanks for having us on and excited to share the story with your viewers. It's a pretty simple story. We're an exploration company with three properties, two in Canada, one in the US. And really, we're repeating a proven discovery model and a tried and tested methodology. Our flagship asset is called Mount Horetsky. It's in the Babine Porphyry Belt in British Columbia. It's a copper target. And it's really the main reason I myself got involved with this company in the first place and kind of decided to drop everything I was doing to go all in on Northern Lights. What makes Horetsky, our flagship, so compelling to us and really our main focus is that it's a direct parallel to its neighbor, American Eagle's NAC project, which today is a $200 million property. Not only is Horetsky nearby NAC physically, but it also shares a very similar geophysical signature and geological architecture to NAC. And I would say the most kind of important thing is that it's being advanced by the same group and the same technical team that figured NAC out, that picked up the option and brought it to the drill ready stage pre-discovery. So, from our perspective, this isn't really a blue sky exploration story, but rather, a repeatable playbook on a highly analogous target. So beyond Horetsky, we have two other properties, one in the Yukon called PUP. It's a copper gold target just west of Dawson City that hosts a sizable copper soil anomaly. We picked up that property in September of last year for $5,000. And since then, it brought it to the drill ready stage for less than $40,000 in exploration spend, which, I think demonstrates that we're a very capital conscious and capital efficient group. And lastly, we have a US asset. It's a high grade gold project in Arizona called Secret Pass. Has a pretty compelling historical data set, about 14,000 meters of historical drilling, high-grade intercepts and two nearby producing mines in the area and large deposits. So that's kind of us in at a high level on the company and the projects.
Luke, if you can give us a quick history of yourself, a kind of your background, and you mentioned a little bit about why you got involved mentioning Horetsky, if you can expound a little bit more and just kind of break down the comps just a little bit and the potential what it can mean for the company.
Yeah. So myself, how I got involved with this company in the first place is kind of a funny story. The group that was figuring out NAC, and this is why NAC and American Eagle is so relevant to us, The group that figured out NACDA picked the property up and vended into American Eagle stock at 2 cents, came to me and said they had an interesting property that they think is of merit and that I should take a look at the stock. So I looked at it, I passed on it, and I saw it go from 3 cents to 30 cents in a single day upon their discovery. And I saw this happen without me. I didn't buy a single share. Today it's a $200 million company. I think $1.20, $1.15 last I checked. Brought in Eric Sprott and South32 and Tech Resources. The whole point, the reason why that's relevant is because a year and a half later, the same group came to me and said they have a very similar property called Horetsky nearby, neighboring property to NAC, that they just vended into another broken junior called Northern Lights Resources. So at that point, I didn't want to miss out again. I started buying the stock myself, and really just setting up meetings for the company and getting my network involved and kind of establishing a solid shareholder base. And then when the opportunity arose for me to take a formal role in the company, like I said, I didn't hesitate. I just decided to drop everything I was doing and go all in on Northern Lights. So it's really the same group that figured out NAC, now figuring out Horetsky.
Look at
And it
you
comes
have
from the
with
same
you.
source. Sorry to cut you off. Comes from the same source, and we're Bernie Kraft, who we're very lucky and fortunate to have on the call with us today.
Bernie, question for you. What's your involvement there a little bit more? Just kind of how you got involved and why you joined to help Luca here.
Well, I'm first and foremost, I'm a prospector. I've been active in BC in the Yukon for close to probably 40 years, depending on where you want to put my start date at. But like over the years, I've managed to do a lot of a good valuable deals, and sort of I've developed a nose for projects, developed a nose for what's going to work and what's explore what's going to withstand exploration and what's going to have a good chance at success. And so when I picked up these projects, both Pup in the Yukon and Horetsky in BC, I started looking for a junior that would make them their focus and advance the targets, right? And hopefully we're going to make a discovery through the drill bit and stuff like that. And so I don't have a formal role in the company, but I am a property vendor, and I like to, I guess, for lack of a better word or better way to phrase it, I like to keep an eye on my children, which are my properties, and make sure that they're advanced and taken seriously and developed properly, and all the proper steps are taken. And so that's kind of, I'm an activist vendor, like,
Yeah,
so
no.
that's the best way to describe it.
Luca, you have gone through a lot, some changes this past year. I've seen some. Well, you guys have had some changes. Do you guys have a lot of changes in personnel? Can you tell me a little bit more about the technical side? Who else is involved, and who have you brought in?
Yeah, so kind of touched on myself, obviously. I was brought in not to pick drill holes. I was brought in to tell the story, be a spokesman for the company, and obviously help lead, corporate strategy. In addition to myself leading our technical team, we're very fortunate to have Steve McMullen as our QP and geological advisor. He's also a director of the company. Steve is a geophysicist who won a PDAC prize for his discovery at Kamoa when he was with Ivanhoe. Kamoa is the fourth largest producing copper mine in the world today. And he also led the reinterpretation work on the NAC project as well. So he knows the area very well. And frankly, he's probably one of the best in the world to be doing what he's doing for us. In addition to the two of us, we brought in a CFO who's been great to work with. And we also brought another director in to help strengthen our corporate governance. So that's kind of the change in personnel on Northern Lights in the past 6, 7 months.
Luca, can you tell me what is NSR, and what is NAK, and what is NLR? And if you could just kind of break down all that stuff for me and just kind of simplify it, that'd be.
Yeah. So the NSR, net smelter royalty return, was a royalty that we had on a project called Medicine Springs that's owned by Torex Gold Resources, $7 billion company. We had a 1% NSR on the property. And Steve, when telling the story over the last 6 months to current investors, but also potential investors, one issue always came up. And they would say, your properties are great, the people involved are great. How are you going to go and extract the value? And it's a great question. That's a big risk in junior exploration is finding dollars, right? So the NSR was a non-core asset of ours that we decided to monetize. We sold the NSR for just about 3 million Canadian in cash to Torex Gold Resources. And that has given us now the opportunity to go and extract the value and develop our targets. So the NSR is now, we don't own it. We sold it for 3 million, and that's what we have in the bank now.
And what is NAK and why is that relevant to NLR?
NAK is the property I was talking about earlier under American Eagle, which is
Okay.
the neighboring property that also came from the same source, Mr. Bernie Kreft as well. And then NLR obviously is a neighboring property, our Heretsky property.
So with it being so close, the same team, the same group, the same, essentially, it's the same geography, essentially, or close by. There seems to be a lot to bet on. Is there, what do you see as the biggest risk and hurdles, and why are people not more, why do people not know more of your story? Why are they not more excited about it? Or maybe they are, but maybe they just don't know. But it seems like if it's as you jumped right in, like, why do people not know more about who you guys are?
It's a good question. I mean, I jumped in because I missed out, and in real time, I saw, I missed out on American Eagle going from 3 to 30 in a single day. I think we've seen a big increase in market capitalization over the last few weeks because we've de-risked the company so much by capitalizing ourselves in a non-dilutive fashion with the sale of our NSR. I think really we just have to continue to get the story out there. I mean, I know that's kind of a basic response, but I really think that's the truth. And as we further develop our targets and then eventually put the drill bit in the ground and make a discovery, it will take off. So I think it's just a matter of continuing to tell the story and spreading the word.
Look, let's switch gears a little bit and go to your balance and share structure. First of all, if you can tell me your current cash position and if you're anticipating any additional financing, if you can break down the share structure, including options, warrants, and your philosophy on dilution.
So I mean, we're shareholders ourselves, number one, right? So we very much value the capital structure. There's about 68 million shares outstanding, with about 19 million warrants, 19 million warrants and about 7 million options. Our cash position, like I mentioned, is about 3 million Canadian. So at this juncture, we don't need more money, right? We have all the firepower we really need to go and further develop our targets and ultimately extract value by drilling. So, like I said, shareholders first. We want to protect our capital structure as much as possible, and I think we've done a pretty good job at that so far.
Do you have any major owners that we should know about, or any meaningful insiders? And if you can,
Yeah, I mean, we have a group of several shareholders that own a large percentage of the company. No major, institutions or anything. But to give you a bit of context, at our last AGM, about 40% voted, and that was between, I think, 17 shareholders. So these are all long-term shareholders that see the vision, that see the potential, and are in it for the long run, not for a quick trade here.
okay. And what's your current market cap?
About 7.5 million Canadian.
What do you see as your potential here? I mean, how much upside are we looking at here?
I mean, to give target numbers is tough. I mean, I don't like to sound overly promotional, but look, I mean, if you take a look at our closest comparable, which is NAK, and again, I don't like making huge
So
promises, but
comps is what I'm asking for, I guess.
It's a $200 million company today, and we're a $7.5 million company. Upon their discovery, I think they went from 3 cents to 30 cents, which would have put them at around 25 million just early on after their first kind of discovery hole, and then obviously now they've grown to something even bigger. But we see that we're only going higher from here. I think at this juncture, with the assets we have, the people we have, and the cash position, I think at $7.5 million is a very attractive entry for any investor that's looking to get involved in a copper junior exploration company.
So 7.5 mil, another company that's 200 mil. You've mentioned similarities. Can you, what are the differences? If for a skeptic going, well, obviously this one's not that one. Like, there are a lot of similarities. Like, are there differences that in terms of size, in terms of what can you tell me about that?
There's, of course, I mean, there's always going to be, until the drill bit goes in the ground and we, you know, have assays, it's hard to say exactly that, you know, we're the same, right? But again, I always look back to the people behind the projects. The same group that figured out NAC is now figuring out Horetsky and saying there are very close similarities. You know, maybe Bernie would be able to answer better. Are there any kind of major differences that you see between the two properties, Bernie?
Not really. I mean, geographically speaking, we're in the same metallogenic or geological belt. We're, you know, the same magnetic signature, the same mineral suite as, you know, at both targets. I mean, there's a lot of the same. I have yet to, you know, about the only thing that's different is that we just haven't really undressed Horetsky yet, right? So NAC was a little bit drilled prior to American Eagle coming in, and Horetsky, you know, the dress basically remains fully on. So that's the goal of the company, is to take the next steps. I mean, the story itself is compelling, and the, you know, everybody discounts the pup thing in the Yukon, but it's analogous to what Selkirk Copper Mines is doing. Now, I don't know the market cap of Selkirk Copper Mines, but you know, pup has that potential. Right. So, you know, it's not just one shot at Horetsky. It's a shot at Horetsky. It's a shot at pup. Can we extract value out of Secret Pass? There's a lot going on in the company besides Horetsky. Yeah. Not that Horetsky shouldn't be the flagship, you know, but again, you know, I struggle to come up with differences between Horetsky and NAC, and I have no problem coming up with similarities between the two. So, I mean, that's a good sign from a,
yeah, it's good that there aren't very many differences.
Well, I don't know if there are. Well,
so what's what's the, you mentioned pup, what's the timeline on that, and what are some other projects that maybe investors aren't aware of that you want to expound on a little bit?
Timeline on pup? I think the company, and
where are you guys with pup right now?
Close to drill. Right, we're gonna hopefully get a drill out there early this summer and start poking some holes into the soil anomaly. I mean, it's a pretty compelling soil anomaly, not unlike Horetsky. Pup's got a pretty smoking anomaly as well. So, you know, our prospecting team's been out there doing a little bit of hand trenching, but there's only so much you can do with pick and shovel, and you rapidly get to the point where it's like, hey, let's throw a couple of holes in here, and it's not going to cost that much. So, I think it's a cheap swing at bat, right? So,
Luca, you guys have a lot going on. For people who are not familiar with your story, how do people follow you, your website? How do people reach out with questions? If you can give us your website and your ticker one more time as well.
Yeah, so website northernlightsresources.com. You can email us at ir@northernlightsresources.com as well, and follow us on X/Twitter at Lights Resources, and as well on LinkedIn. And our ticker is NLR on the CSE.
For disclosure for our listeners, Luca, Northern Lights Resources have not paid for this interview. I am currently not an investor, though that may change. Do your own due diligence. And one of the ways to do that is to follow Luca, his story, with his website and his ticker. Reach out to him with any questions that you may have. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Luca, great to meet you. Bernie, great to meet you. Thanks for telling us about what's going on.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. I hope to have you guys back.
For sure. See you guys.
Bye. With a drill discovery.